Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for the local take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we are joined in the studio by Pamela Perkins Karn, who is the coordinator for the Interfaith Children's Movement. And this organization is being highlighted at the 2015 Economical Thanksgiving Celebration. Pam, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much, Kiplin, for having us.
And this is a welcome back because we've talked with you before around the work that your organization did in support of Rachel's Law.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're very happy to see the passage of Rachel's Law this past legislative session.
So the Ecumenical Thanksgiving Celebration, what does that mean to you and to your organization, and how are you all participating there?
Well, first, we are very grateful that the committee chose ICM, Interfaith Children's Movement, as an organization to highlight. We are interfaith in makeup and composition and in our work. And that does mean having Christians and Jewish and Muslim and Baha'i and Unitarian Universalists and Hindu and all other faith traditions coming together on behalf of children of Georgia in advocating for them both at the policy level and at the services level.
And this celebration is really kicking off the Thanksgiving season. It's going to be taking place on Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. That's the Thursday before Thanksgiving at Temple Cole Emeth in Marietta, Georgia. So Pam, tell our listeners a little bit more about what the Interfaith Children's Movement does and how their congregations or their faith partnerships can get involved with it.
Well, the Interfaith Children's Movement is made up of different individuals, of different faiths, of congregations, and even organizations, if you will, faith-based organizations who have come together recognizing that our children need us. And that we all have a responsibility to care and love for the children who are in our midst and those who are beyond, across the state, if you will. And so this call to the faith community, to the interfaith community, came about in 2001. And since that time, we have been serving in that role of being that voice for those children, especially those children who are on our margins, who are marginalized, who have involvement with our juvenile justice system, who are, you know, suffering from the pangs and ills of poverty, who have been cast out of our education system. And so we see those children as needing that extra support within our communities and also within our state agencies. And so we call upon our faith communities, our churches, synagogues, mosques, masjids, temples, and we call upon our state officials and our county officials and other elected offices to serve the needs of our children to the best of our ability.
And we live in a culture that supposedly puts children on a pedestal, but it seems always that children seem to be left behind. One of the statistics that I'm always surprised about is that in the number of homeless in our community currently, that number of children in that group is almost the largest.
Absolutely. Women and children comprise the largest percentage of homelessness, and that's 70% of the homelessness in our state. And when you think about that, those are two of our most vulnerable populations, children and women. And so we see the need. We don't have to go looking for it or searching for it. We see the need every day. Even within our school system, some of our school systems have created homeless liaisons because we have so many homeless children who attend our public schools. And so therefore, they are in need of those special services to ensure that they actually can receive the type of quality education that they deserve.
Recently, they are talking about the number of high school graduates, that the rate has increased almost 25% over the last 4 or 5 years. And when you think about someone graduating from high school and being homeless and all of the things that go into, you know, attending school, having a place to study, extracurricular activities, and then the fees to pay for extracurricular activities and books and tutors and all of those things. What are some of the things that our members of our faith community can do to support what the Interfaith Children's Movement is doing? How can they get more involved? And I know you've got a lot of folks, but I'm sure you could use more.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. Outside of the home, school is really ground zero for being engaging, to engaging our youth, our children, our youth, to helping them to thrive. As you said, we have a huge homeless population of children and youth who attend school. What we ask those persons who are, you know, are willing and able is to be there, to be present within our school systems. There are school systems that are inviting the faith community in. We sit on the Fulton County Schools Faith Summit Steering Committee, and Fulton County Schools has held this faith summit for about 4 years now. And each year they invite the faith community to come, listen, find out what you can do, you know, volunteer, be a cafeteria greeter, be a greeter in the morning. You never know what has taken place in that child's life the morning of, much less the night before. So to have someone with a smile on his or her face saying, "I am so glad you are here," can make a huge difference in a child's life. There are opportunities to tutor, to be that mentor, to give back. Someone gave something to us. Someone said some words of encouragement. Someone helped us study. Someone, you know, provided some type of material need we might have had. Someone paid for that field trip that otherwise we would not have been able to go on. So our faith communities have a huge role for support within our school systems. And so we only need to ask. We only need to show up and say, "Here we are," and we're ready and willing and able to be part of that. And ICM has been preaching this sermon since its inception, and we will continue to give that message that we need to be where the children are. We need to be in that space in whatever capacity you can, and whatever capacity, where's your passion? And live out the passion. If it's art, there are art classes you can participate with. Be a volunteer art teacher. You know, our school systems are cutting back on things like art and music because of the budgets that they have. So they have to make a decision between whether or not we're going to have, you know, the basic classes, or whether or not we're going to be able to be open 5 days a week. Essentially, some of our schools in our rural areas are open 4 days a week. And so be in that space. We have to be those gap fillers. What happens to those children on that fifth day when they're not in school? You know, our faith communities are full of space. We could hold after school, before school, during school, you know, opportunities for those children who are in need. And so the list is endless. And so there's really not an option of saying there's nothing I can do. The list goes on and on and on. And schools have lists, and they have the things that they need. And so we have only to ask.
And I think a lot of people forget when we're talking about children, when you look at it from a business perspective, you're talking about human capital. And with that 25% increase in high school graduation rates, economists are expecting a $1 billion impact to the economy, because these are more children who will contribute, who will get jobs, who will be tax-paying citizens. And we could end some of our budget challenges if we would support the marginalized children and help them to become productive citizens.
Absolutely. Graduation is essential. I mean, graduation from high school is the first step, you know, in today's, you know, economy, especially in the job market. You're going to need additional schooling. You're going to need additional education in order to be that productive citizen that you just spoke of. So graduation is essential. Graduation from a high school is essential to our children and to the economy. One of those studies that was revealed a few years ago said that our 2008 dropout class here in Georgia, they weren't talking about the country or, you know, or international, just in Georgia alone, the 2008 class of dropouts, that's how they couched it, would cost over their lifetime $15 billion to the state. And so when you think about that, you have to understand that we have to increase our graduation rate. We have to make sure that our children are getting a good start from the beginning, not just, you know, graduation rate, but actually preschool, you know, being able to stay in school, being able to cut the cycle of the school to prison pipeline, you know, to dismantle that, so that then not only will the children and their families thrive, but the state has a stake in it.
The state definitely has a stake in our children. And the theme of the ecumenical celebration this year is teach your children well about other religions. And this celebration, as you have mentioned, really involves a wide range of religions coming together to celebrate. We recently had some people protest the fact that their children were learning about other religions, were learning about Islam, were learning about, you know, the Muslim community. How can this group that comes together every year in celebration of Thanksgiving, how can we push that message out that it is going to be definitely necessary for our faith-based communities and our civic organizations and our community organizations to all come together for this challenge?
And I really appreciate the theme for this this year's celebration, Teach Your Children Well About Other Religions, because we just had that opportunity recently with one of the charter schools, Drew Charter School, as a matter of fact, over in the East Lake community. And it came about because the students initiated it. And so that is the goal, that our young understand that we must come together in peace and in unity and learn to appreciate each other. And that was what they created a summit. So we were able to help them by creating what we call the youth interchange. And so there were youth of different faith traditions who came to their school to have, and their teachers were there, and so they supervised. But they were able to talk to each other. And they were able to ask each other questions. And then they sat down and they created the summit together. And so the summit included a panel of adults in particular, of different faith traditions. And the students themselves asked the questions. So they were the moderators. They were the questioners. And out of that, you could see this enlightenment that we are more alike than different. And so if our children are leading the way, you know, actually, in creating that type of environment, then harmony and peace and unity are possible in our lifetime if we would but understand that that is where we need to go. That's the path we need to travel down. And so it was a wonderful time, and I was so grateful to be, you know, to have a part in that. And so this celebration only goes, you know, to illustrate that even further, because they've been holding this celebration for years. And so when you see, you know, hundreds of people in one space of different backgrounds, different religions, different races, different nationalities, being able to celebrate in Thanksgiving, you know, in appreciation of each other and for being part of this movement, if you will, to create an environment where people feel that they belong, that we feel like we belong to each other as the human family. It's a wonderful experience.
I can imagine, and I'm just going to give that information again. The Ecumenical Thanksgiving Celebration for 2015 is taking place on Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the Temple Kol Emeth in Marietta, Georgia. And Pam, for our listeners who might want to connect with the Interfaith Children's Movement, how would they go about connecting with you and the things that this organization does?
Absolutely. You can call us at 770-498-2141. You can go to our website at interfaithchildrensmovement.org. By email is info at interfaithchildrensmovement.org. We're on Facebook as well, so, and Twitter. So we are out there, and we look forward to hearing from everyone.
You all can be found, and it's the Interfaith Children's Movement. We've been talking to Pamela Perkins Karn about their organization being chosen as the highlighted group for this year's Ecumenical Thanksgiving Celebration taking place on Thursday, November 19th. Thank you, Pam, so much for coming in to speak with us.
Thank you, Kipling.